Everybody, you're listening to WSLR 96.5 LPFM in Sarasota, Florida. This is your true community radio station. We're it. We are the local community radio station here. This program is the Surreal News, your weapon of mass instruction, and we're delighted to invite back onto the show Terry Wunder, and Lou is going to introduce her.
That's right. Joining us today is Terry Wunder, community activist and opponent of the proposed massive Longbar Point project in southwestern Manatee County. Her work organizing and protesting that project revealed a systemic disregard for the best interests of people in this county in favor of the best interests of developers. Now Terry wants to give voters in Manatee County who feel the same way another choice and give them a voice on the commission by challenging Carol Whitmore for the commissioner-at-large seat. Welcome, Terry. How are you doing this morning?
I'm well, thank you. How are you today?
Hey, I'm terrific. You know,
good.
You know, it's another day in paradise. Terry, I know when you were last on, we talked about the Longbar Point project, and you hinted that no matter which way the commission ruled, those who voted for it or against it, voted against the express wishes of the residents, would have a political price to pay. Is this it?
Yeah, this is part of it. This is the beginning, and I hope it's not the end.
Okay, so so what do you have to do now? I mean, I know you're running, you know, as commissioner at large. I know you live in sort of like the, you know, Bayshore Gardens area of Manatee County, but as commissioner at large, you would be representing, I would assume, all of us in the community.
Yes, this is a countywide race, and in order to win, I must wage a massive countywide grassroots campaign.
Okay. What do you have to do first? I mean, don't you need some signatures, or how's that process going?
Yes, I have to collect over 2,000 ballot signatures. I have these petitions that I distribute online and also physically. And I have until spring, late spring, to collect over 2,000 signatures, and that will put my name on the ballot. The other option is to pay for it, and I'm just not that type of person. And I prefer getting out and meeting people and getting to know people. So I'm doing things the old-fashioned way. I'm actually going out and pounding the pavement.
I can imagine, what sorts of events. I mean, are you having like sort of individual, coffees or you know meetings at you know current supporters' houses to sort of introduce yourself to others? I mean, have you started that kind of deal yet?
Yes, that's a very important part of my campaign. It's something that is very important to people. I learned how to do it in Iraq, and that's to hold focus groups with people and to listen to people. So part of my campaign involves arranging private meetings of 10 to 15 people in their homes and listening to them. It's not a town hall meeting where people ask me questions and I give answers. It's the opposite. I listen to them. I ask a few grantor questions, and they tell me what's on their minds. And the benefit of this format is that usually people not only know what the problems are. In fact, always they do. They always tell you what their grievances are. But they also give answers. They know what the solutions are to the things that are most critical to them in terms of quality of life issues. And so it's always beneficial to work that way. And I hope that after I'm elected, I will be able to continue that and serve the people of Manatee County in a way that respects them.
You know, it sounds so simple and it makes so much sense. It seems so logical to me. Like you wonder why, you know, more politicians don't do that, or more, I shouldn't say politicians, more public servants don't approach their job that way, recognizing that their real superiors are the voters and residents of the county, and that they ought to really listen to them. It sounds like you have caught on to that, and it. I'm not trying to compare. This is totally off the question, but it reminds me of one of my favorite Florida people, Florida politicians or public servants, which was Lawton Childs.
And
walking Lawton. I mean, Lawton Childs, you know, was the one that, you know, he walked up and down the state of Florida talking to people. You know, I thought that was just, I mean, I remember hearing about that a long, long time ago. I wasn't even living in Florida, and I thought that was awesome. You know, and that's what this kind of reminds me of. So have you held any of these yet?
Yes, I have. And everywhere I go, the reception is very good. And one of the things that I have learned so far is that people are really fed up with the way special interest groups are dominating local politics. There's a very strong level of awareness of that, and people want that to change. They're tired of special interest groups and the leaders of special interest groups seeking favors and convenient exceptions for whatever their pet project is of the day. And so that has to change, and I'm very, very excited to be a part of that change, and I feel very confident that I will be elected.
You know, I really like what you have to say, and also too, though. I mean, I think you had brought up. I want to backtrack a second ago. You know, about the focus groups. You know, that you would learn this technique when you're working for the federal government or working for, I guess, the U.S. Army in Iran. And I want to point out to the listeners that, you know, you are a PhD. You earned your PhD, I guess, at University of South Florida. And I guess you got a master's in English from the Florida College of, I don't know, Western Florida College or something. The one up in Pensacola, I believe. Isn't that right?
West Florida.
West Florida. Yeah. Yeah. The University of West Florida. I have a son that goes to the University of North Florida. So, you know, I know about the Florida school system or university system. But, you know, just tell us briefly, you know, what were some of the things that you did when you worked for the U.S. Army? I know one thing that I want to point out is that you were among three experts who did a study for the U.S. Army that sort of predicted that there would be some, you know, radical Islamic inspired violence against U.S. soldiers here in the United States before Hassan killed all those guys. In, was it Fort Benning or Fort Bragg or wherever, right?
Yes, I followed Middle East issues for a long time prior to being recruited by the U.S. Army in 2008. And my doctoral thesis is about Islamist movements, including the terrorist variety like Al-Qaeda. In order to write my thesis, I had to learn everything about Islamism and the violent and non-violent aspects of it and its ideology. And of course, in Iraq, going in the ramp up toward the war, some of us knew that, you know, to invade that country would mean that it would usher Al-Qaeda into the country, because ideologically that's what Al-Qaeda does. And it made the situation in Iraq even more complex than what we had planned. And so I was hired to respond to a crisis, which was the very complex insurgency in Iraq. And no matter how you feel about that war, it's my personal view that there was a crisis over there, and we had to deal with it. We had a moral obligation to deal with it after we were there. And the Army hired people like me, people with social science degrees, to help understand local populations and understand their grievances and the problems that they face on an everyday basis, the dignity that they're denied, the access, the opportunity by their own corrupt local leaders, many of whom were doing deals with Al-Qaeda, and to find peaceful ways to solve problems. And so that's why I was hired, and I'm credited for saving lives.
You know, I bet you did. You know, I mean, it sounds like the old hearts and minds thing. And I know I am of the Vietnam War era and have read quite a bit about that particular war. And I think the U.S. military would have benefited greatly. And actually, just the whole sort of misguided, adventure over there, you know, might not have been, you know, as devastating if they had employed folks like you, you know, to actually go in and find out instead of after the fact, find out how, you know, they were, turning off the entire population. I mean, that's why the Viet Cong existed.
I think you're right. I mean, you can't shoot your way to victory in a counterinsurgency campaign. You have to work with local people and not against them. And so, you know, I worked with different types of shops in Iraq. I worked with civil affairs, for example. I worked with all kinds of command staff working on reconciliation and reconstruction programs. And it was a very rewarding experience. And, you know, one of the things that you learn is that top-down decision-making doesn't work. You have to pay attention to people. And really what it boils down to is dignity, or as I like to say with my campaign here in Bradenton, respect. It's respect for our manatee. And so that's what my campaign is all about. And it's not a Democrat campaign or a Republican campaign. My campaign is a campaign to appeal to purple voters, not red ones or blue ones, but purple ones, everyone.
That's right. I just want to remind our listeners that we're listening to Terry Wonder, and we are on WSLR, low power, 96.5 here in Sarasota. Terry, you know, sort of echoing what you just said, I jotted down this quote from the Bradenton Times, you know, the online newspaper here that you gave them, and I'd like to read it. You know, Manatee County must respect and protect all of its resources, human and natural. Some people treat the environment and the economy as either-or choices, but that's a false argument. The environment and the economy are both important, and they depend on each other. Sarasota Bay is a major economic engine for Manatee County, benefiting tourism, fishing, boating, water recreation, local real estate value, and quality of life. I think that's very concise, and that kind of hits it. But I still would like you to you know elaborate a little bit. I mean, because that's the way these issues generally are framed, particularly the Long Bar Point one. Proponents of the project, all they can talk about is the economic benefit, the jobs, the jobs, you know, and the money that it's allegedly going to bring into the county to the other merchants surrounding it, you know, without thinking, you know, without looking at the long term, you know, what it's really going to do. And why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Well, Long Bar Point and this request to turn that property over there on Northeast Sarasota Bay into a mixed-use land designation on the county map is really wrongheaded. And what I mean by that is that when you change the map of anywhere to mixed use, what you're doing is you're paving the way for a high intensity, high density development. And there are some areas where that would be really good for Manatee County, where, you know, we should consider mixed use types of development, but not there, because that region is so sensitive. There is a massive seagrass meadow that begins in the mangrove swamp of the property and extends all the way out. We're talking 8,000 feet out to the intracoastal waterway, and the same seagrass meadow is 2.5 miles long. It's one of the largest fish nurseries on the west coast of Florida, and it's the reason that the settlers of Cortez in 1887 moved there from North Carolina. They recognized that area was incredibly fertile. there are Indian middens on the property. Well, the reason these pre-Columbian people settled in that area was that it was fertile. And when you over-urbanize an area like that, over time, that the fertility of that area is bound to decline. You're not going to see it immediately, the decline of the grass flats. It will just happen over time after all of that coastline has been built up, filled in, seawalled in, dredged out, and it will destroy a commercial and recreational fishing economy. Our tourism depends on that environment. Our real estate values depend on that environment. Our public health depends on that kind of an environment. And so this is just not a sensible area for putting mixed-use, high-density, high-intensity development. It needs to be somewhere else. And what the applicants are saying is, trust us to do the right thing. Well, voters of Manatee County have, you know, been asked to trust the decision-making of BOCC before.
Sure.
And you've seen what we've gotten since the crash of 2008. A lot of empty lots, a lot of empty subdivisions, and not many jobs. People are still struggling, despite what everyone is saying about this economic recovery. People in this county were hit hard. They're still struggling. And there's not much trust out there for the government right now here locally.
Yeah, I could see that, and you know, I can't pick up the paper without reading sort of what I consider conflicting stories. How they talk about how housing is making a rebound, but that construction jobs are not leading the recovery here in Lake Manatee County, that there is no big increase in construction jobs. But that's not really the issue, and I think the Long Bar Point situation is, as you've accurately pointed out, you know, about the seagrass meadow and mangroves and all, and the reliance of the Cortez fishing industry as a hatchery for fish. People also have to, I think, realize that that's just one link in the ecosystem. You stop those fish from doing what they're doing, and that has ramifications on the quality of the water, purity of the water, the way it all looks. Me coming from Massachusetts and seeing sort of, having had the privilege of spending a lot of summers on Cape Cod when I was a kid, and watching, sort of the raping of Cape Cod from just, unfettered development, okay? One of the things I found most refreshing when I moved down here was looking at Anna Maria.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing how, they really held the line, because it's like a beautiful place. And I would tell my wife when I moved down here over 20 years ago, I says, that is a really beautiful place. But what I'm really afraid of is someday somebody's going to walk in with a wheelbarrow full of money and they're just going to buy it all out. And it's just going to be overnight. It's going to be Siesta Key.
Right.
And
I grew up on Siesta Key.
Okay.
And I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I saw what happened to Siesta Key. And it's no coincidence that last summer the elected officials of out on Holmes Beach unanimously made a resolution against the Long Bar Point developers' requests to change the county map, and at that time also to change the comprehensive plan.
Sure.
Because the Anna Maria Island is stressed out, and they're having some rather substantial quality of life issues out there right now as the result of all the unchecked pressures, and they're really struggling to try to deal with that right now. And so this mixed use development and tourist resort town that Carlos Baruff and Larry Lieberman want to create out on Northeast Sarasota Bay will put more pressure on them, and that's why they signed. That's why those elected officials out on Holmes Beach signed that resolution, because there have been, they ask questions. How are we going to deal with 10,000 more people plus all the tourists that would eventually be out on Northeast Sarasota Bay. And there are no answers to that. There are so many questions that have not been asked in terms of traffic and population density and the pressures that would be put upon people in all these surrounding neighborhoods from Anna Maria Island, Bradenton Beach, Cortez, Mount Vernon, San Remo Shores, sure. Heidi Island, El yeah. Conquistador, Wild Oak Bay, Bayshore Gardens, Trailer Estates, even Whitfield in that Tallavast area, because the roads are inadequate right now. Just recently, over the summer, El Conquistador had to put a petition to put up a stop sign on El Conquistador Parkway so that the golfers would have better safety while crossing the street from their clubhouse over to the tee off, and you know, that's what they're experiencing right now on that part of the road that travels around travels by Longbar Point. And who's going to pay for all of that, by the way?
Yeah.
This is another thing that no one has answered. Who pays for the widening of the roads to accommodate all this future traffic through 2035? No one has answered that. Well, if it's anything like the past, the taxpayers are going to have to pick it up. It's not the developers. It's all the people from the Sarasota-Bradenton Airport and all those neighborhoods leading over to Longbar Point who are going to have to pay for that, and probably the rest of the taxpayers in Manatee County too. And so, you know, there are so many issues, not just about the environment, but also about quality of life and what this kind of a development, because it's regional impact, is going to do to us. And you know, here in District 4, it's a working class area, and predominantly, and our homes are our 401k plans, and residents around Longbar Point are really concerned about how this is going to diminish our property values. And to accommodate the traffic, you can expect eminent domain and property seizure with this kind of a project. Some people are even imagining, you know, what are they going to need, a freeway? That's yeah. how massive yeah. this mixed-use plan that they're talking about is.
You know, it is truly amazing, and I know that there is another meeting scheduled for January 23rd and that this thing is not a done deal yet, but unfortunately, we have run out of time, Terry. And so we are going to have you back on probably somewhere near the first of the year. Are you going to go to that meeting on January 23rd?
Oh, I'll be there.
Yeah,
and we're having a rally even before that on January 5th.
Tell us
7 at Bayshore Gardens.
Bayshore Gardens, give us
yes.
some information.
Yes.
How can people get that info?
You can go to the Bay Life Preservers Facebook page, www.facebook.com/Bay Life Preservers.
Okay.
And I will have the information posted on that Facebook page.
Awesome. All right, Terry. Looking forward to talking to you again. Great luck on getting all those signatures, because I think it's important to get you on the ballot.
Thank you.
Thanks again.
You.
Have a great day.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.